Tancock. We are out in the desert. Yay! We're making sure that while today we're going to go out after it's been raining here in Arizona, because you never get to see the land you want to buy when it's raining. So I'm going to take advantage of the rain. We're going to go and check it out. We are ready to occupy the land. Well, there's a lot of people thinking that very, very, very same thing. Then they're networking and talking and being presented to and presenting at Anarchapoco. Anarchapoco 2023. We got Catherine Bunadin on. She's going to tell us every little thing. Now, I've known Catherine for a long time, and we worked together last year doing Anarchapoco, and I was very supportive of them just having these in the middle of the pan plan, whatever the hell's been going on. And it's going to be interesting to see how things have changed, you know, over a year. But they are doing it again with bigger, badder, and better. And I want to make sure we go over a lot of the speakers, some of the special events that's happening, what's different this year as previous years, and, you know, how sales are going, everything. Catherine's going to tell us all about it. Catherine, welcome to the show. It's so nice to talk to you, baby.
Hi, Ernie. I'm so glad to be here. Very excited.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and talk about what we're going to be doing at Anarchapoco that makes it different this year. Now, the location is called Jardín Secreto, which is a secret garden, and it's lush in the jungle, kind of bamboo and teak. Kind of, you know, there's so many different little, you know, areas to sit, and then of course they have big stage, and this is the one thing I didn't ask this question. I'm going to surprise you. I hope I get the right answer. All right, you ready, Catherine? You ready? You know, we have we got Starlink out here, and it might be dropping, but it was giving us, you know, some good signal. I don't know. You know, I got you, Catherine.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now. Is it, were you cut out on your end or ours?
I don't know. I hope not on mine.
Yeah, well, we got Starlink.
I do see my bars are kind of oscillating on my phone. We've got Starlink down by my husband's office. If you don't mind me walking outside while we talk, I will head down there.
Well, I don't know. It could be us. It cuts out. It sounds good now. Well, we'll just hold off where we're at here. Now, this is the question that I have. They're the audiovisual screen guys, the Mexican company that was down there before last year was awesome. I'm just wondering if they are doing it again this year.
Of course.
Boom!
They are our sister brother company. We are always going to work with them. They are amazing. They do such an excellent job. They handle everything professionally and perfectly, and I've never had a better experience working with a sound audio.
Yeah, and I had to, you know, bring up, you know, my old Spanish to communicate with a lot of them anyway, but it worked really well, and I was really happy, you know, with their quality and their patience and tolerance with speak. It was amazing. So I'm looking forward to working with them again. All right. So I feel a lot better about it. Because, man, you know, that's always a thing, especially when you MC, is, you know, just the audio visual and having everything work is just, you know, a nightmare. But as long as you got, you know, people to help me wrangle the speakers and get their butt over there and so on, and I'll do my part. But I'm telling you, the AV guys, they make or break it, and they did such a good job this last year that I'm really glad to hear that they're going to be there again. Now, the theme or the mission for this year, is it different? What is it you're trying to provide the attendees this year that, you know, kind of unique?
Well, what I'm really excited about this year is that we are trying to focus on relationships and relationship building. So this year before lunch, it's a really choose your own adventure kind of model. We will have workshops, we will have outings, you can go kayaking, you can do a temescale, turtle releases, these types of things. We will have the stages running, we will have the community stage running up on the main stage, where there will be panels and short talks and
Yeah, it seems like we're having a lot of cutout. I'm wondering if it's us. Catherine?
Can you hear me?
I can now. I'm wondering who. Let me check here and let's hope it's not us.
I'm just going to walk down to my husband's office and log on to our Starlink. I usually have pretty good service here with Verizon, but who knows? I've been out of town for 2 weeks, so I don't know what's really been going on.
Well, this is the first time. Did we have Starlink here? No, we haven't had Starlink here yet, have we? Yeah, we just got it this summer. We were in Washington up on the Canadian border there in the Columbia River, and it was working pretty good. Here it's fast. It's, working great, but sometimes it, gets 10-second gaps and whatever. Anyway, we put up more satellites, Elon. But the, it supplies us with so many other options to do the occupy the land thing without having internet out in the middle of the freaking nothing, which we're going to the middle of nothing. It's really limiting. Now, fortunately, we were where we're at. It's like as the crow flies, about 10 miles from I-10, so it does have 4G and four bars. And I was like, damn. I was not counting on that. In fact, I was kind of looking forward to not having that, But the
Yeah.
so it's we're doing pretty good. 23 for me is like building infrastructure. Like you're talking about networks and so on with people, but it's a lot of new tech, more decentralized, more autonomous, less they can delete or deplatform or demon or any of that crap. We're just totally getting away from that, but what about the convenience of the, don't care. Don't care. We're building. It's time. The tech is there enough that we're going to be able to demonstrate it, and that's what we're doing. So what kind of, along those lines at Anarchapoco when you're doing this networking theme and so on, towards what?
Well, the hope is that we really start to build community, and that includes all types of communities, right? There's the hyper-local community where people live and do life together. I'm walking through my intentional community where I live right now. I'm living it. It's awesome. But there's also these international communities like Anarchapoco, where we gather from all over the globe together, and we do these amazing projects. And how do we create something that is sustainable through the long term? And I think one of the things we learned as, Ron Paul era activists is that the least common denominator is you. And if there's a bunch of conflict going on in your activist group or in your home or in your community, you have to work on yourself. And once you've begun to work on yourself, which I think Anarchapoco has focused on for several years now, how then do you gather as healed people together in a way that creates longevity so that we can build systems that last? Because that's really, I think, what it comes down to is that we have to be thinking long term. We have to be thinking stability. We have to be thinking, like you were talking about, decentralized, localized. I think the more we are able to create these small replicatable working systems, the more resilient that we will become. And so we're really.
Yeah, this is one thing I wanted to, focus on, and you're a really a good person to have this conversation with because you've, been going down this line, for a long time anyway. But there is benefit, especially with Donna and I traveling the country, on the Love Bus and making contact. There's so many talented people, but they have different circumstances. Some live in winter wonderland, some in the desert, some in wooded mountains, valleys with, without water, sun, without sun. I mean, it's just, there's so many, it needs to be local. It has to be a local knowledge of a local bartering, of local growers, of local, local, local. But there are benefits to so many people around this country that have access to entire machine shops, have access to lasers. They know how to do CAD. They know how to do a lot of the communication tech, and they know how to do, you know, building. They know how to do, there's so many things that overlap on these smaller communities. And I'm seeing that we need to have some kind of software. I mean, we've got all kinds of things in the works, but I want to have some kind of a networking communication app, join reputation, eBay and Yelp crosses over into pirate, whatever the heck, to where the people that would be an add to any community, and some of them, they may not want to stay in one area, certainly not year round, not in the desert, that's for damn sure. But, you know, they, like this summer, you know, we'll go up northeastern Arizona and we'll just hang out there with, you know, different people that have stuff up there. I wouldn't want to go up there in the winter. So it's just, I'm seeing it's communication. There's going to be a lot of really good small group examples of doing it right, you know. And I'm wondering how it would be that these locals, you know, communicate with not so local. Has that crossed your mind?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think something that's already used quite frequently is IC.org, the intentional community website. And, you know, there's no political affiliation or like-mindedness. So you're going to find intentional communities that are vegan. You're going to find intentional communities that are nudist. You're going to find, you know, all sorts of different opportunities, right, to be involved with things that you gather around. And, I'm sure that as time goes on, there'll be even more and more technology that develops to connect us. But it was actually a panel at an event that I went to where there were members of different intentional communities that came up and were just sort of sharing their stories, and that really got me inspired to start seeking an existing intentional community. Because something that I really strongly believe is that these communities that were created in the 1969, 1970 nonprofit craze, there were all these new intentional communities that were born, like Raven Rocks Eco Village in Ohio or Black Bear Ranch in California. There's a video about it on YouTube. Where I live right now, I'm not going to say the name of it because I don't want to tell everybody where I live. Huh. But there's these really long-term communities that exist and were born around the same time. And they've been able to stay around. And yeah, some of them have died off. Well, why? Because of communication, generally speaking. Yeah. You know, if a community is not able to resolve their differences, they're just inevitable. And so we're trying with Anarchapoco to, you know, we have a whole day called Sovereign Living, and that is completely dedicated to the skills of creating a sovereign life. And that includes community and relationships and community building, not just the, you know, how to skin a rabbit kind of stuff, but also the real, like, how do you talk about conflict? What does community look like to you?
Right.
And, you know, we've got a different theme to every single day, and we're trying to present, you know, the financial technological side. We're trying to present the esoteric and spiritual side. We're trying to present the philosophical side of things in addition to the health and wellness stuff. And just really trying to create a diverse subject base so that we have the opportunity to start moving toward creating free, sovereign, voluntary societies and communities. You know, it's an entire lifestyle choice, and you can't just focus on crypto and become free.
Right.
Because if you are enslaved by your anger, you are not going to be free. You're not going to have friends. You're not going to have family. You're not going to have a community that you can depend on. And if you're just into farming and gardening, that doesn't mean you're necessarily going to be free. You might live in poverty. You might have really poor relationships. You know, there's all sorts of ways that you can be a rock star in one area, and if you haven't balanced it out and implemented it through every aspect of your life, I don't see how it's possible for those of us in the liberty movement to see freedom in our lifetime, or for our children to see freedom in their lifetime. We have to really take assessment of our whole way of being on this planet.
Yeah, no, freedom is there. You know, like, oh, I'm going to be free. Somebody's got to do it for me. They got to announce it from, you know, the news anchor on NBC, and then I'll know I'm free when they tell me I am. You know, it's like, no, 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 no. You can just do it. I mean, that's just, you know, that's our whole occupy the land thing. I mean, we talked about this last year, what we were doing, showed you some graphic. Well, we built prototypes this summer. You know, Rebecca came up and saw the area she didn't see when we were doing. Danny Sessom helped me design the brim and, you know, the shade patio thing on the dome, and you know, got to hang out, and some of the guys from Autonomy came up and helped, and, you know, so we're ready to start building here in the desert. I already, man,
yes.
It worked, man, rock and roll.
Yes.
So, but
yes.
it's the other things you're talking about that are really, you know, important. Conflict resolution. What size
yes.
of community? I'm looking at your IC.org, Intentional Community Foundation for Intentional Community, and we'll put that up on the site, and I'll take a look at it and see. But it's always the conflict resolution. At Jackalope, they went, you know, total rave, and it caused a bunch of problems and so on. People ouch quit it and whining about whatever. Because before, for 10 years, I'm like, nope, nobody's in charge, no organization, no, it just, whatever happens, happens. Well, then, you know, Alma wanted to try and really amp it up and make it a big festival, and then it just kind of turned into a thing, and there was some conflict. Well, then MidFest, which is Mike Swatek that does in the fall and spring, he developed a, I don't know, kind of an agreement that was, you know, on conflict resolution. All right, here, this is how we're doing it, you know. And so these things evolve with solutions that come out. So I'm asking from your research, and you're doing this and having lived with people on a, you know, food production area before, and now you're in another intentional community. You've been kind of floating around on this idea in the past. What do you think is a minimum or a maximum number of people in any intentional community before it turns into city council, mayor, fed, you know, armored truck?
I think it's really going to depend on how it's structured. You know, I think one of the things we're talking about here in our community is creating neighborhoods, because we have, you know, houses that are all on the same power line circuit, or we have houses that are all on the same water line circuit. And, you know, when something breaks, we deal with it. And so the community is at the size now where there's definitely like distinct groups within the community. And I think, you know, keeping it decentralized as possible is good, because then it's neighbors working with neighbors. And
so is it a geography thing, or, you know, is it, you know, what I found is that when you get to about 100, 120 people, you get the most diversity. You know, it's a division of labor. You get really good conversation. It's not so big that, but once you start getting over 200, 220, it starts to go bad, you know, and it, they break up. What's
really
your experience?
I really think it depends on how it's structured. So like you take, for example, the Anarchapoco community, right? And there's like this group of people that come down to the area predominantly during a certain time of year who say they believe in different things. Well, it is clearly segregated into two different groups at least, but two of the major different groups. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really healthy thing. I think it's a really, really good thing. And I think, I don't know if there's a number. I just think.
Well, what's the two groups?
Well, there's the group that is running the main event. And at this point in time, this group of people, which I am a distinct member of at this point in time, I used to kind of, I think, exist in both while I was trying to figure out or watching the whole thing split in half. You know, I kind of existed in both, but we've gone through a process of really assessing what our expectations are from community, and we have set expectations for beer amongst one another, and we don't work with people that treat people we work with poorly. You know, we just opt out. It doesn't matter how big of a name they are, it doesn't matter how many books they've written or how much money they cost. If they're not kind to the people on our team, we just won't work with them. We're done with that. We're done with drama. We're done with chaos. And this is something I talked about in Puerto Vallarta at the Mariposa Freedom Fest last month, is that one of the speakers said there's always drama in community. No, I don't believe that. I think drama is a symptom of unhealed people coming together and trying to do community. I think there's always conflict. Conflict is inevitable. Conflict is human. Conflict is part of our journey. When it turns into drama, somebody or
Drama.
everybody isn't actually looking in the mirror, you know, somebody or everybody isn't taking responsibility for their part in things. And so,
Let's talk about this a little bit, because this is, an Acapulco is going to have a lot of great information, a lot of great people, but the one thing that it's always when you put it into practice, when you're going to live this kind of look, I know how to do this, and we should do that, and have the confidence to whatever, and this way is better, and we don't need the central command, and blah, blah, blah. And then you actually start putting it into practice, you have what you're talking about. The different people, one, they're a lot of times they have resources, or they want to support freedom, they want to find freedom, they want to associate with people like mine. They go out, but then they go to a lot of these things and don't meet a lot of those people, and that's one side. The other side are the people that haven't been able to work in the system. They don't want to work in the system. They're personality is such that they can't, and those people oftentimes have some kind of a social dysfunction. They had a dysfunctional family life, or they didn't get an education that they wanted. They're good character, decent people, but they don't have the social life skills fundamental, and they need to build that. And then you see a lot of them that go into like the Free State Project or an Acapulco or Arizona, then they'll learn stuff and their character will blossom because they become competent in something and they have confidence and they're an add to the community. But a lot of times these guys are looking, well, I want to join your community so somebody take care of me or tell me what to do, or whatever. And those are you gotta put them in the farm team and go work on your skills over here, and then maybe you can come over here. So how is your criteria for people that you want? We're ready to, when they say liberty in our lifetime, lifetime, I want liberty right freaking now. And they say, how do you declare your independence? You go, I declare my independence. See how easy it was? No government form. I mean, it's just, you just do it. But to associate with other people that want to just do it, is there a criteria? Is there a vetting process? Is there a questionnaire? Is there, how are we working on that? Is there a reputation? I've been advocating for Scuttlebutt, which is a Pirates Without Borders letter that we detailed, to where it's kind of a combination of Yelp and eBay. You also get the rate, the rankers. When you have people giving reputation on someone, their ex-girlfriends, and maybe I'll just filter that one out, But the so this, it needs to happen, because I want to have the ability to, maybe 6 months out of the year when it's really nice in Arizona, people leave from the snow, come here to do whatever. They travel to Mexico and they build and they kind of more fluid, and then they'll find their place and build a reputation in the process. Without that, we're always susceptible to what you're finding out. Because when the Levolution happened, a lot of people that were part of communes in the 60s, 70s, and getting older in age, and oh, Ernie, we should do this and do that. We had this one, it was great, and whatever. And I'm going, what happened? Well, there was this one guy or gal. And I'm going, there's always that one guy. There's
Well,
always that one thing.
they were probably COINTELPRO. And
Right.
if you don't have systems in place to vet people and to ice out the people who are deliberately disruptive, in the end, it doesn't matter if they're paid informants or if they're just unhealed people, they cause damage just the same. And so if you create these systems and you create expectations and you create a bar that's high that people need to step up to, you're automatically weeding out that type of stuff. The instruction, whether it's on purpose or not.
That is the discussion that I think we're going to be spending a lot more time on the show. 23 is going to be building of infrastructure, which includes a lot of the relationship stuff. Now, as time, I've been doing this for 35 years or whatever, my whole adult life, and I know a lot of people that I do, and do not want to live with. Hey, I need you as a neighbor. I may not see you much and everything, but you know, you're not in my crap. You don't bother me, and when you need something from me, I'm more than willing to help. But I don't want you, you know, in my living room all day every day. I mean, you know, it's just so this is, you know, I think the important part that we're now starting, because I remember you had done this in Texas. You had started doing sovereign living and so on. But as always, young people, and you bring other people in and people, and then you got the people thing going on, you know, as opposed to, you know, being a family unit. How big of a in the house thing, you know, is it multi-generation of the same family? Is it, no more than, you know, 12 and a half people? Is it depending on the, I mean, what are you thinking?
I think one that depends on people's life location and personality type, right? Like, I don't want any more than my immediate family, my children and my husband in my home. Like, I won't live with other people anymore. But when I had young kids, we had roommates. You know, now I live in a community where everyone has their own home and they raise their families in their own homes. And some of those are intergenerational. You know, we do have grandparents, parents, and grandkids who live here. Some in separate houses, some in the same, sometimes it changes. But I think, you know, for some people, they really, really just want to be alone, and some people crave more. And what I have found, you know, I lived in the Bitcoin bus full time for 7.5 years. We're in a cabin with the bus kind of as our side house right now. We just have more people, can't fit in there anymore. But what I learned in that time is that there's way less conflict when people have their own autonomous space to go back to. Sure, share a kitchen, sure, share a laundry room. But when you have your own freestanding premises that has your house and your toilet and your, you know, whatever, the RV size space is all you need.
Yeah.
There's way less conflict because people can go be in their own aura. They can decompress. They can be mad, sad, walk around naked, whatever you want to do in privacy. And it just, it takes the burden off of that. I will say here at the community where I live, I really appreciate the way they bring new members in. It's a very slow process. You know, you start, you come to a couple potlucks. We do community potluck every Wednesday. You come to a couple potlucks. Maybe your kids go to the school that we run, and so our families get to know you. And then you essentially petition to come and stay here short term. So Paolo and I brought our bus here for a 2-week initial just visit trial, which extended into 3 months, which extended into 6 months, which extended into, you know, 2 years. And then we asked to become members. And as members, we have the ability to build and to create infrastructure here. So we're in the process of rebuilding a home right now. And it's awesome. And I'm really excited to do life with these people. It's, you know, like 20-something of us adults and probably 15 children. And everybody is here for one purpose, which is to run the school that we run, the community school. And kids come from offsite and they come from here. And
are there indigenous? Are there people? Are they Mexicans or are they all expats?
This is in Texas. I'm in Texas. So the community.
Oh, you went back to Texas. Oh, you cheater.
You went back to Texas. But we found freedom here, you know, and it just kind of, the universe just kind of brought us here during the heart of the lockdown. We felt like we had our rights were respected here, and we joined this community during a really hard time. And we've actually watched them remove people from the community. And that made me feel safe because their behavior warranted being removed. And I was like, all right, let's see how this goes. Can we trust these people? And they gave the people the opportunity to correct what was going on, and they didn't, so they removed them. And that to me was like, yes, I like this. I want you to have a high standard. And so, like you were saying about these, I would call them unstable people who show up to these move here projects, whether it's in Acapulco or New Hampshire or Arizona or Austin, Texas, or wherever it happens to be. You know, a lot of times the first people to show up are those with nothing left to lose. And
Right.
that's where you get the documentary series, The Anarchists. And you are looking at people who are not well trying to do community together. So you're looking at drama. And what I really appreciate, to circle back to you ask, like, what's the difference between the two communities? The difference is what you saw in The Anarchist and what was born out of it. Not everybody evolved. Not everybody grew, not everybody changed, but those who did, they have higher expectations, they have higher standards, and they're not tolerating the type of instability that
Right.
led to the absolute devastation in 2019.
You know the devastation of what? An Acapulco or what are you talking about?
John Galton was murdered,
Oh,
and you
okay.
know, in the end, Nathan Freeman drank himself to death tragically. And it's just like that was a sick time period for this community. And I am really honored to have watched so many people blossomed and just turned
Well,
into
you
these
find out what's
magnificent
important
creatures.
and what needs to be done and what the problems were. Because in Acapulco, just started as, Berwick's kind of, after Galt's Gulch thing was going on, and he did that, and we went down the first year and, helped with that and so on. And I could see what was going, but it evolved past, just having a party. I mean, it turned
Yes.
into, an inspiration for whatever. But the when you, you talked about the series. They did a thing on HBO, and I only watched the first one because they're like because they had me in some 5 second whatever and audio. Oh, Ernie, I saw you on HBO. Yeah, whatever. What the heck is this? I watched it. And I go, okay, I get it. It's building up a hit piece. I mean, I could see what was coming, and it's kind of like they do Doomsday Preppers, or they do it. They all right.
Yes.
It's becoming a thing, so now we gotta, if we're not gonna share the news, we're gonna spin it,
That's right.
So it's always a spin. So I didn't watch the rest of the series because I mean it seemed interesting and it was fun, but I just like nah, I could see where it was because it's mainstream media. So did you watch the whole thing?
Oh, yeah, we watched the whole thing, and honestly, it told the truth. It didn't show all sides of the truth, right?
Well.
There were some really beautiful things that came out of that time period, and the end result of Anarchapoco is awesome. I mean, I am so excited for this year's event. It just gets better and better every single year. But what they depicted, it was the truth. It was a lot of real life drama, you know, and it was a very hard time for our community. But I will say this, that was when my husband Paolo and I, during that time period, we saw clear red flags and clear warning signs, and we decided we were going to be very careful and very strategic about who we let into our lives. Up until that point, I really was of the mindset, like, oh, you were part of the Ron Paul campaign, then we are going to do life together and everything's going to be good. We're going to do businesses. We're going to live in the same house. We're going to. And I integrated my life into a group of people. And I myself wasn't a healed person. And so we, and when I say we, I mean the movement born out of the Ron Paul revolution of 2008, we co-created a lot of toxic cesspools, whether it was organizations or romantic relationships or whatever. I mean, there was a lot of toxicity, but there's also a lot of beauty, right? And
Well,
so
there's a lot of
that's where I think
lessons. I mean, I,
a lot of lessons.
I would do, I remember, interviewing, you and John, early on and, at Portrait. Yeah. And then Donna and I saw we had four children, little children growing up. And it was very emotional for us to see these different cells, like you as a couple and family and others and what you guys go through and the focus you had and everything. Because we were like, man, we've been through this before and we want to be an inspiration and a help. And that's what we're doing. I'm going, look, I'm telling you, this is going to be you know, I keep saying, you don't want to be too hot, too cold, too wet, too hungry, too thirsty, and have a nest that's stable so the cute little birdie will stay. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. So it's really, you know, not that much to ask. You just need a place and some ingenuity and some stick-to-it-ness and just do it. And so that's what we're going to be demonstrating. And the lineup that you have, you know, for this year, let me do some of the names that I know. You know, of course, Ron Paul. You know, he'll be there, and there'll be a special VIP dinner and so on. Larkin Rose, Max Egan, Dale Bigtree from the Highwire Podcast, Dan Dix, Press for Truth. Look forward to seeing him again. Andrew Kaufman, Doctor Mark Passio. He's always got something to scare the crap out of you. Colin Cantrell from Nexus Crypto. Let's see. There's a bunch of other names here that I don't know. Patrick Smith from Anarchast. Let's see, who else do I recognize? Danny Sessom, The Crypto Show, and a bunch of other people that I don't know, but they look like they're going to be interesting subjects. But the and then of course I got to get to know them and get their bios and everything for introducing them. But the we got Vit from Lieberland. I mean, there's a lot of things. Truthyverse podcast, Brendan Murphy. A lot of these people is we're familiar with, but where are they evolving? How are they approached, you know, from your perspective, the theme? We're looking for what? What are you trying to create? Because I know, talk to the people about the networking event that you have and the cost for that and why you're doing it.
So we're really trying to work on relationship building this year and providing people not only with practical skills on how to become more free. It's what we have a whole day called Sovereign Living to teach people, you know, the different ways of becoming free, but also on building relationships that help us to leverage the skill set or the resources that one another has to provide to the community so that we can create together in sustainable ways, so that we are thinking long term, we are building businesses, we are trying to bring people together in a really powerful way. So, for example, we have a meeting of the minds networking party. It's very small, only 100 people are able to come. It's a $500 ticket. And I've hand selected from the speaker list and the talent list people that I see who are builders. And I'm talking community builders, I'm talking business builders, I'm talking idea builders, right? These are the people who are over the test of time in whatever niche that they are just creating, 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 building, building, building. And I'm bringing them to this event, and then we're selling tickets to come to a networking party. It's going to be right on the beach at Bambuda, one of our favorite partner venues. And it's going to be small plates with, you know, different tables, high tops and cushions on the ground and regular tabletops so that you can really move and communicate and talk to different people and maybe build a business idea together or maybe just find a relationship that, you know, somehow changes your life. That's the hope. And so we're trying to bring the movers and shakers from our community together and give them an opportunity to get to know each other because, you know, I have found that for myself, growing up as a young activist in this community, I didn't have things like financial resources early on, and people saw me building and they supported me. And I'm really grateful for that. I will be forever grateful for that. And I have probably received support in ways that I don't even know about. And that's what I love about our community is that we see people who are hustling, who are creating, who are really walking the walk, and we support them. So we're trying to be more intentional about it. And that's why we're having this meeting of the minds dinner party on the beach. We're calling it flip flop formal. Don't wear heels or you'll sink in the sand.
You know, I can see this. Well, this has been my experience. I'm sure you experienced it too. Is there are a lot of people with resources out there that, and it goes like this. This is how I summed it up. Once they donate or seen as, you know, wanting to do anything, they're targeted. You're on a list, and you'll get calls from they, them, those that want the libertarian branded whatever Cato Institute or something like that. They're just bugged the crap out of you. and they have their local state affiliates and that kind of thing. So here comes the Coke-to-puss. Well, what you get is give us money, give us money, give us money. Our foundation will give us money. Our activist thing about give us money, give us money. And what they get for it is at the end of the year, they got to fill a 10-round thing at some chicken dinner where they get up and talk about how many letters to the editor they got published in the New York Times or Wall Street Journal. And they're like, yay, you know. So then when you have but actual people that are out doing stuff, that are inspiring, that are doing things like the Lovolution, you know, and a lot of other things that certainly were born out of that, they're like, you know, well, hell, I'll invest, you know, you guys are cheap. You know, they're wanting, you know, millions of dollars from me and $10,000 of this and $10,000 of that and $200 to him. All of a sudden you get, you know, 50 gazillion times more return on your investment. Towards what? I don't know, whatever it is that, you know, you share and overlap and interest with different people. A lot of it, I was surprised that there was so little effort put on technology, communication tech, you know, even web design into communication stuff, decentralized, distributed, you know, like crypto and all this kind of stuff that in 04, 5, 6, before the Lovolution, we were hammering on that, and certainly during the Lovolution years, 7, 8, and I'm going, this is, where are these guys? You know, what are they're working for the man. There's some FBI agent went to DEF CON, and any 13-year-old that knew how to hack or whatever was working near Furris or Guinness kind of thing. Well, then when crypto hit, they started to understand the capability, the possibility of us being able to break away from central command. And that is after you get your 10,000 hours in, you're 10 years later, and these guys, you know, spend a bunch of time all of a sudden, and here it comes. Well, that's a physical manifestation of some of the infrastructure that you need in communication to do a lot of the stuff that we were missing before, especially when you're tracking people. You know, like they got their facial recognition social credit score. Yeah, well, we got our pirate, you know, reputation social credit score of you're a dick and you're not allowed, you know. So, you know, and they get, yeah, but this guy, like when we do our vaccine education summits, you know, we'd have listed as Dr. Judy Mikovits up there or Dell or something. We would get hammered by them. Oh, I can't believe you guys would have it. I'm going, who are you people? You think I give a shit what you guys think? You know, and when with the ability to communicate directly between peers and, you know, IPFS to keep publicy, you know, where you always have files available. There's privacy is cool. It's a thing. But I'm more worried about publicy right now. You know, you're not allowed to say that or have it up or it gets deplatformed. Or I'm going, nope, 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 nope. So I believe, and my experience is that we're in a different time. We are able to bypass them. They're not able to surveil us as much. There is new ways of us to network and to keep the trolls and the infiltrators and agent provocateurs and so on out. And if they do get in, to get them exposed and to warn everybody else, because that was always the problem. Well, there's this guy. There's always going to be that guy. And if they're not one naturally that's just dysfunctional and whatever, there's definitely somebody getting paid. And the guys that are the most abusive a lot of times are from inside and should be getting paid by the man. I mean, so this is, I think we're in a unique time. I think technology in energy production, in food, in water purification, in building techniques, it is so, and the realization that you are not going to fix the government schools because they're already fixed the way they want them. So this is, we take responsibility, occupy the land in whatever form you guys want to do that. So the thing is that I think we all are going to be, I think we should all try a lot of different things, and stuff that works will be adopted and that what doesn't won't. So boom, let's go. Now, Anarchapoco is a perfect.
Some things may work at some times, and some things may work at a certain time, but not anymore later. And I think we need to be adaptable and ready to try again as things change. You know, like when COVID hit, a lot of us had to block and pivot, and we did. And we were able to stay living free despite circumstances changing globally, economically, politically.
Well, Anarchapoco, I've been encouraging people There's two things that I would get people to go to. One, Porcupine Freedom Festival, and two, Anarchapoco. And the reason is that these events are the ones, and I'm sure there's others. I mean, I got other people like, you know, of course, Jackalope and Midfest and, you know, Anarchon, and, you know, there's all kinds of other ones people have as favorites. But for my friends that I'm older, I'm 61, you know, so I've been doing this for, God, since I was, you know, in my late 20s. And what I've seen is that all the things that libertarians and freedom-oriented, liberty community, voluntarists, whatever, they would advocate for, there really wasn't a good example. You know, there wasn't, certainly on a larger scale. So I'm going, look, man, you need to go to these events because you'll see it. You'll see the people that are living it. And then once you see it, you start to become friends with them, and then they start experimenting. They start moving together. They start being an example. They start being an inspiration. Well, Anarchapoco, that was, you know, a big part of this whole thing, is that people go down there and talk to other people of like mind that is more international. Last year, there was, God, at least a third half of the people were from, you know, wherever the queen was on the money. You know, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, UK. I'm like, what the hell, man? If they got Queen Elizabeth on the money, they're going to Anarchapoco. What was the deal? Did they have an invitation on there or something? So that was it. Didn't you find that interesting? I thought it was interesting.
Oh, yeah. Well, and what's even more interesting to me is that, you know, the past 2 years, we've had the fewest amount of Canadians because their border was so locked down. And of course, that's where Jeff's from. So he has a really large Canadian following. And we had this decline in Canadians, but a huge increase in people who actually had to find a way to get out of lockdown countries in an airplane. You know, Canadians weren't even coming on foot. They just weren't showing up. But people were coming from across the globe in droves. I mean, it was just absolutely incredible.
I saw some Canadians that I knew there. You know, what happened is a lot of the Canadians that I knew had already expatriated to Panama. So, and they were there, and they're going, Ernie, you're like, hey, word, man, what's happening? You know, so a lot of these guys, you know, had already left Canada. And then, of course, some people that are down there, and a lot of people like Max Egan, Rebecca, I mean, all these people just, they got out of Australia just in time or under the wire. You know, I remember this was the way it was people that escaped the Soviet Union. They would get kind of a pass to this, you know, okay, they'll let you go to Italy, and then boom, they're gone, you know. And it was amazing, all the rigmarole and bribes and how they do in the paperwork of I got across the border and we're gone. And this is the same thing, the same attitude, the same machinations, the same kind of, you know, anticipation and stress, you know, to get out of Australia. I mean, seriously, Australia, you know, but yep, absolutely. So this is, it's time. And I really like working with Catherine because you understand it. You've been through this. And the people that you have talking, you know, how were they selected? They were, you know, did you say, look, we want to do this kind of thing? Or did you just pick some names? I mean, what is it that, you know, like Mark Passio would bring to this? You know, Dan Dix, the Press for Truth, I know his kind of spiel. And, of course, Larkin and Ron. I mean, but there seems to be a theme. How do you think they're going to present, and what are they going to encourage?
Well, we actually have a pretty thorough process for selecting who's going to be on the stage. And so right now we already have names that we're setting aside for 2024. Okay. We are constantly on the radar. And the first thing we do is we send a survey out to event attendees at the end of every event, and we invite back the people that the audience wants. That's the first thing we do. I mean, that is the path of least resistance right there. People's crowd favorites are who we are going to bring back. And, you know, 10 out of 10 times, the crowd favorites are people who are evolving and have a fresh message every year. They're not coming and talking about the same old thing. They're teaching you what they learned over the past year and where they're seeing into the future and what they're building, right? And so these are the people that get invited back that you see on the docket year after year after year. And then, of course, we all are doing our own research. And so our production team brings to the table people that we have been following and that we have been learning from and that we feel like are on the cutting edge. Our event has evolved a lot over the years. Like you said, the first one, it was a group of people who came, they gathered. I think it was more of just like a freedom thing. And it evolved into like, well, how do we heal ourselves? And it evolved into how do we heal our community and how do we grow together? And now we're starting to get into, oh, and we added the spirituality aspect, the shamanic ceremonies and the retreats. And there's just all these different layers that kept getting added on, health and wellness, as Jeff evolved, started taking ownership of his health and the way he existed in this world. The event took on that flavor, right? And we started exploring different ways of eating and different ways of treating our bodies. This year, for example, we have a radical birth keeper. This is somebody who helps women to give birth completely state-free. And so, right now, yeah, midwifery used to be cutting edge, but midwifery has been engulfed by the state. And so now, to get out of state intervention into your birth, you got to start looking into the radical birth keeper movement. And so this is the cutting edge. And this is where we're trying to stay, bringing back crowd favorites who are pushing their own edge, but also bringing in new people who are on the cutting edge of their own movement. And so this is, we're having like biofield tuning with Eileen McCusick. This is my co-producer Rebecca, one of her hand-selected speakers, right? And so we all have people that we have found. Shunamurti, this is a Jeff Berwick hand-selected speaker. And then we are also always taking in feedback from our audience. And I did a poll on stage on who people wanted to see come down. I also, encourage people to suggest new speakers in Telegram and other places reaching out. And really, we are looking for a curated list of people who can actually help you change your life in whatever way it is it needs to change to be more free and to live more sovereign. And so that might be spiritual guidance, that might be financial architecture, that might be getting out of working for the man or getting off state dependency or whatever it may be, whatever aspect of your life where you are not living free. If you come to Anarchapulco, we hope to have somebody there who's already living, breathing, doing it, walking the walk. We built an earth ship at Anarchapulco 2 years ago. I mean, we are really trying to do things in alignment. I think there's going to be a rabbit slaughtering class this year. I mean, we're talking about getting your hands dirty. We're talking about planting hands in the soil. We're helping the children at the orphanage build a garden at Secret Garden. Secret Garden has offered space for a children's garden. I mean, we're really, really trying to put living example on display.
You know, and it's such a beautiful area to do it too. It's not in a ballroom kind of setting or even a resort kind of setting. It is just a jungle. You know, it's like imagine Gilligan's Island, and every path led to another little gathering area, and you got the big, area where. How many stages are you going to do this time?
Well, we're going to do the main stage, which in the afternoon will be the only stage going on. And then during the morning, we will have a film screening stage where we had our main stage 2 years ago when Ben Swan was the MC. And we're going to have some other areas for gatherings that aren't necessarily stages. So the mornings, there might be a family circle out at the pool where the main stage was last year, a film screening at the Palapa where the main stage was 2 years ago, and a panel going on where the main stage is this year, plus all the workshops taking place, plus all the excursions. So the mornings are going to be very decentralized, choose your own adventure. And you know what? We haven't mentioned the second week that we added, which is so exciting. We're calling it Agora Forco. And this is based off of Lily Forrester's Anarchaforco in 2019 that she was doing with her partner. She's one of the stars of the HBO show, The Anarchist. It was featured in that documentary series. And this is attendee-driven event. And so anyone who has an Anarchapoco ticket, general admission, or VIP gets a Forco ticket and gets access to add to the calendar. So that means if you have a ticket to the event, you can also buy a Forco ticket specifically and not go to the main event. So if you have a Forco ticket, one way or another, you can post events on the calendar. So you can put on workshops, you can put on a scuba diving class. It's totally decentralized. There's no set venue. And we already have events being put on. And we had this awesome idea, Lily did, that we leave it up year round and let people plan meetups wherever they want to plan them. And there's already one in Argentina for people to meet up before they come to Anarchapulco. So we're really excited. We're really trying to focus on community building. And the second week of the event is Agoraforco. And the idea is that everybody can put on their own anything.
You know, this is that's of interest to me. Just to, I mean, just to go, you know, and to hang and be. I can see. I really see the movement maturing because what has happened, and I saw this happen. Okay, I'll share this, and you'll understand my point. When I first started going to, I don't think I've missed a pork fest for. 13 years, a lot while. Okay, I mean, I never plan on going. I just always wind up there. You know,
I
kind of
think my 7-year stretch was long.
like, you know. Well, it's just like a salmon thing. I mean, you know, it's one. It's not, you know, 120 degrees like it is in Phoenix. So there's that. And then, you know, we have a round that we go and visit with different people. We got, you know, friends in New Hampshire. You know, Jay Noon, I always want to go say, yo, what's up to and Mark and Ian and the guys and, you know, everybody. And then, of course, you know, Derek up in Maine, you know, we do a lot of stuff together. So that's a good time. Then after that, we go to Washington and we're there, you know, about 4th of July and we have fun there. And then, you know, most of the summer's over and we come back to Phoenix and, you know, we don't have to put up with too much heat. So, because in August we got, you know, jackalope and then, you know, we linger up there. So, oh my goodness, we got 3 weeks in September. So, damn it, you know. But it's been a real good observation when it first started, Pork Fest. Part of the Free State Project, you know, Porcupine Freedom Festival up there, they've been doing forever. What happened was, it was like, dude, look at, we go and walking around the ground, dude, and carrying a gun, dude, and smoking dope, dude. You know, we're duding all over the place. And a bunch of young dudes out duding. And then they'd have late night, you know, drinking kegger or whatever. They're, dude. Well, then 2 years go by, and all these dude guys got married, and they started having children. And they go, "Hey, man, you know, do your bong over there. I mean, you know, kind of, you know, give a, you know, don't have my son light your joint. I mean, you know, whatever, you know." So they were much more family-oriented type thing, and then CNN and PBS came, and they're going, "Oh, they got 7-year-olds, you know." Selling beer, and it was James Babb's daughter, and he goes, "No, the beer was free. It was the doily the beer glass was on that cost $7." So you know, I mean? So it's that kind of attitude. So what happened though is, as time went on, it got more mature. They were more, you know, import on, you know, like network and community, and they wanted to make sure that. Everybody, you know, could fully express themselves, and they'd find out who were good and bad guys, and reputation, different people, and you know, as time went on, you could see it mature. Well, the movement now being since 08, so what does that make? You know, 12, 13, 14 years has gone by. So people that were 20, 25 are now in their late 30s, you know, mid 30s, freaking 40, you know, and it's
Yep, I was 23 at the RNC in 2008, and I am now turning, I think I turned 39 this year. I might be 38.
Yeah,
It's hard to
39 for
keep
the
track.
fourth time, yeah. But anyway, so this is what I'm seeing is now's the time. Now, of course, I'm older now because I started, you know, younger in the late 80s, early 90s. So, but I got to see it evolve along with technology. I could see what was coming. Freedom's Phoenix was a product of our imagination in 96. And I go, when video hits the internet, which was 05, that's when we started it. But we had already had the idea of social media before there was a social media, you know, with all the different tools that we have, which we have that infrastructure, and now we're starting to, you know, we have the skeleton there. We're putting, you know, bone, the muscle and meat on the bones, and we're going to be developing all 23, and here we go, occupy the land. So the thing is that I'm looking, it's time. So if you haven't gone to these functions, Anarcapoco is a good vacation. It's inexpensive down in Mexico. You get to visit and meet people, and I know enough Spanish and got translators, and because my Spanish is getting bad, that I can talk to the concierge and the maids and the taxi drivers and, you know, the retail people and everything enough that I get to ask them about their life and how was it during COVID. During COVID, it was bad. People were, they were fishing nets in the surf to try and survive, you know, because people were not coming down. The money wasn't there anymore. And it's just, it was, they're doing it. They need this kind. So Anarcapoco has been like a beacon for a lot of these people, not only in money, but in, you know, people want to be like them. They want to have their network. They want to have their abilities to survive and thrive in economic downturns. They want to be able to grow. They want to be able to take care of their own kids. They want to be. So I can see the maturing of the movement and the need for the networking and the people with resources that have been looking for the type of people to support, because, you know, they're good. They're living life. They got it all, but they understand the importance of a decentralized life and they wish to invest in that or give a leg up or help. But you got to vet the people, because people, they're just, you know, they're people, and you get all kinds. And I've seen people that have did their ayahuasca ceremonies and all of a sudden they got healed from whatever the hell was bothering them. I hear that all the time. Or, you know, they just needed, they were already of the right mind. They just needed to find a place and, you know, get away from the madness of big city, God knows what. So Anarcapoco is a thing that's time has come. And I can see the people that are doing it. And that's why I was encouraging last year, I want to just help. You know, you guys are doing it during the lockdown. Man, what can I do to help? You know, and I'm glad you guys invited me back, you know, and there wasn't a whole big giant suggestion campaign of We Hate Ernie. But, you know, I'm glad that I'm going to be able to keep the energy up to emphasize the things that I think that are important, because the maturity of the movement is being represented in a lot of these festivals. And, you know, one reason I liked about Anarcapoco is because it was in another country. It was in Mexico. It was outside of the U.S. There was a lot of people from around the world that came. And the reason is because this is not an American thing anymore. It may be, you know, the light or the promise or the declaration, or that, you know, we got guns and we can kind of hold off the bad guys for maybe a little bit longer than everybody else. But that this is not a one country thing. This is a worldwide problem with a worldwide solution. And I remember there was one activist, a young guy named John Marino. You know, he was a young guy in his 20s. And he, I remember it was like 08, during towards the end of the Ron Paul campaign in 08. He goes, you know, they want a one world government. He goes, you want a one world government? I give you one world revolution. And boom, that became a sig line of mine for a long time. One world government equals one world revolution, and that's what I feel is coming. And the right people at the helm of this to be an example, to try and craft an event that people will get the most out of it. If you don't go and you are looking for support and people to support and of like mind and how pervasive it is around the world, you know, you need that charge, you need that energy, you need that example, that inspiration. Go to Anarcapoco, especially if you got the resources and you can travel on. I tell you what, it's going to be better than anything else you're going to be doing, you know, at the time, if you're worried about what's coming, because it's coming. Whatever's coming, it's coming, it's here. And where do you go to try and have some insulation from what can really be devastating to your family? You need options. Anarcapoco, I highly recommend that you go there to be able to meet the people you need to meet with, because Catherine and friends have, and the other people working in Anarcapoco have selected these people for this reason. It's next. It's what's coming. It's generation next that we can be there for to create the environment by which generation next, there's always a generation next, and it's our children and grandchildren. That's what Freedom's Phoenix was all about. From the ashes of Lady Liberty's torch, Freedom's rebirth, Freedom's Phoenix. We had anticipated what's happening right now decades ago and have prepped ourselves for this, and Anarchapoco and Anarchaforco and a lot of these others are the place that you need to plug into it. What can you add to that, Catherine?
Well, gosh, that gave me goosebumps, and it makes me feel really excited to be part of this community and part of this movement. And we do have opportunities to volunteer. So if you are looking for a volunteer ticket, we have a much more affordable ticket. It's a $300 volunteer ticket. And, you know, we talked about how are the ways you vet people coming into the community. Well, you know, I started out volunteering and I worked my way up to running the entire event. And so, you know, we have a volunteer ticket. It's a $300 ticket. It feeds you the whole time. You work 20, 25 hours doing things that you love. You get to meet all sorts of really, really cool people. And
you get a shiny badge.
You get a shiny badge. And, you know, it helps us to really get to know you. And for example, one of our volunteers last year, she's running the whole registration desk this year because she showed up and did such an awesome job. And so, you know, I just want to say, like, get involved, show up, participate. If you don't feel like, you know, you have the resources to come and do the fancy parties and the whatever, well, come and volunteer. It gets you into the opening night party. And we have nightlife every single day that is open to all ticket types. And we have a circus burn. I'm so excited about it. It's going to be so fun.
What are you talking about?
Circus burn. So it's like Burning Man. We're playing off of Vice News calling us the anti-vax Burning Man. And we have all these acrobats and circus people coming and they're putting on a show. And we're doing like a Burning Man circus night. It's going to be really fun. And we have Nancy Reed, the comedian from Austin, coming back. I laughed until I cried last year. She was so funny. So I'm really excited that she's coming back. The nightlife is going to be so fun. We have a lot of fun. There's a lot of art this year. We are auctioning off. So every year we started raising money for the orphanage in town. Last year we raised, I think, $40,000 for them. We want to go bigger this year. So we actually bought a working Volkswagen Beetle, and we have a famous Burning Man artist named Chris Dyer coming, and he's going to be painting the Beetle. It drives. And we are going to be auctioning this off to raise money for the orphanage. So you're going to see a lot more art. We've got a little mini film fest going on. We have all sorts of fun family programming going on. We'll have, you know, kid movies playing during the main stage. So moms or dads or nannies or big kids can, you know, get away from the main stage action, and all sorts of great stuff for families. I think right now we already have 30 kids who have tickets to be on site. And we still have a month to go, so I'm sure there's going to be even more. And like Ernie was saying, like, this really is about Generation Next. That's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm showing up. That's why I'm doing the work, because I believe that Generation Next is really what matters. And so whether it's through my work with Anarchapoco or my personal life living here at an intentional community that's designed around educating children, that is my ultimate focus, is Generation Next. So I really appreciate you driving that home, Ernie. And
I got four kids and 12 grandkids, man. I'm all next up. You know what I mean?
My dad just got married on New Year's Eve. And between them combined, there's 5 kids and 17 grandkids.
Wow. Who was it got married, did you say?
My dad, my father.
Damn. All right, yes. Let me go ahead and I want to, we keep mentioning the orphanage. I want to give a little plug for that. It's called Marsh, right? You know, Marsh.
Marsh Children's Home.
And this is during COVID when a lot of the money that they had, 60 kids or something there. And there's a 94-year-old woman that, you know, takes care of them. And she gets some help from the community, and her daughter and son, I think, you know, kind of help a little bit. But the reason she did is because she was an orphan when she was a kid. And then later on, She came out, got married, as he was, I think it was an airline mechanic on planes or something. Anyway, so she had a nice life, and then when she retired, she wanted to go back and help, orphans, and she, started this Marsh. The reason it's called Marsh is that was the family's name that, helped when she was young. So what happened was Danny Sessom from the Crypto Show, he was in Puerto Vallarta or something and with some biker gang or something in Mexico doing whatever, yakking what he was doing. He's always out doing building homes in earthquake areas and, going around during or hurricanes and helping. He had a Dash funded motor home that he would go around and do a show and so on. But they told him about this orphanage, needing help. So he went down there and visited. And now it's like every day he's in town, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, and they're like, sitting there at the gate waiting for him to get there, take him to the beach, because a 94-year-old woman can't take everybody to the beach. You have dead, orphan kids all over the beach. So, Danny goes and takes like a dozen of them at a time every day. You go down there just, and last year, right before, in Acapulco, there was like a 16-year-old girl that drowned in the ocean. He saw a hat. He went out to get the hat, and then he sees a, a floating body. Well, brings her to the beach and revived her, And so he's like a hero. And so that's awesome. I bring tear to my eyes just hearing the story. But what happened is these orphans during COVID, when they lost a lot of their funding and the Canadians weren't coming down that, normally were a large part of their income. And all of a sudden it just kind of evaporated and they're starving, and they approached Danny and went to a Anarchapogo and said, "Hey man, we need to, help these guys. We got to do something." They did just a quick auction. One of the guys there is an auctioneer, for real estate or whatever he does. That's his thing. He goes, "Yeah, we can auction off that hula hoop." I mean, they're raising tens of thousands of dollars for these guys and feed them for a year. So last year we're doing it, between speakers and so on. We would auction off various, opportunities and trinkets and trash and whatever. It didn't matter. The people are like, "Oh, I want that. I'll pay $20,000 for that," whatever. Well, what happened? A lot of the people there, they are artists, and they did some paintings that were freaking awesome. I mean, I'm going, "Wow, this is original," sitting there all week, doing a painting. Somebody that was a local there that did different stuff. And it was really pleasant way of supporting people that are growing up with Danny's influence and a lot of the other people in this idea of self-sustaining, of learning how to plant, learning how to build earthships, learning how to just think, and what to think about, and what the the agorist opportunities that are to them. They don't have to look for a permission slip, and they got a market there, and hopefully they'll get some orphanage trinket and trash table, and so this is Generation Next at a local level of who needed it the most: orphans. And these are little kids, and it was awesome that some people go in, "I can't believe you got these little kids working." Are you freaking kidding me? Everybody had a job. Little two-year-old kid, he was in charge of the toothpaste. 60-something kids, two-year-old kid, he got his first job. He's in charge of dispensing of the toothpaste. And I'm like, awesome. So this is a flavor. It is an example. It's a big, giant inspiration. And I enjoy helping. I'm glad that you're having us come back, Don and I. Donna's going to come this time because I talked about it so much last time and what an experience that she needs to have. So she's going. And that, and some other of our friends are going because of that. And, people that we know that have moved to Mexico and so on. The same time, the same way that I was encouraging people to go to Pork Fest to witness what can be done, you need to go to an Acapulco. Because if you don't, you're really going to miss out on the inspiration, the energy, the power, and the contacts that you need for what's coming. Because it's here, and everything that we've been, warning about, and we're changing, Freedom's Phoenix emphasis and focus on a lot of it. It's not going to be as much of the porn tragedy, tragedy porn of whatever the hell's going on in the world, you want to know what's happening, but I'm just like, okay, I get it. All right. Yeah. They're bad guys. What are you going to do? Tell me they're really, 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 really bad. They're bad. I get it. Now what? an Arcapoco is a big giant chunk of the now what. And the fact that Catherine is there and her staff and what they're doing, you're going to get a now what. So I really encourage you guys to go. Where do they go to sign up? How do they do it? What are their options?
If you go to anarchapoco.com, you can join our mailing list. You can buy tickets. There's virtual options if you can't come. Some people gather and watch the show together in their local communities. So lots of ways to get involved.
Well, thanks for coming on. Anything else you want to share with people? You know, what's the weather going to be like there? You got to dress up. It's going to be really cold.
Haha, nope. It is nice and warm. I personally have found that I sweat so much when I'm there that I chafe if I wear a dress. So I tend to wear pants or shorts and flip-flops. And even on the, you know, the formal events, you want clothes that are beach friendly. Our venue is not on the beach, but it's in the grass. So at night, you might want bug spray. Bonneville area does have mosquitoes. And I'd bring a sun hat and a reusable water bottle. And yeah, just come prepared to be nice and warm and to be outside all day. We do have the stage has moved out into the back acreage where they've grown a whole bunch of grass and planted new things and built new things. You'll be so impressed, Ernie, when you get there.
Oh, hell, I was going to MC from the swimming pool. You know?
Well, they're putting two wading pools there for us, and we're trying to get one in the VIP tent out there too. So you can MC from the wading pool if you want.
That may be a very thing. Because that may be a very, I threatened to do it all this last year. I just dig it, but people would be in the pool listening and, you know, cooling off. And it was awesome. It was a nice vibe. And I think everybody, you know, had a good time. I didn't do any late because, you know, I mean, I had to work. I mean, it was a thing. So I went to bed. Yeah, I was in like 8. I mean, I'm going, yeah, you guys, peace out. You know, I went to some of the parties and so on and dinners. But, you know, I was turning in because it's a full day. You know, there is so much stuff going on. Catherine.
Well, and Ernie, that's part of the reason we decided to not run the main stage in the morning. We saw how hard you were working and we wanted you to come back. And so we just decided, you know what, let's just do the main stage after lunch. So that way there is an opportunity for an MC like yourself to actually enjoy some of the nightlife and do some of the morning things as well, because even the people working the event, we want it to be expansive and awesome and amazing. So
well, thank
we're really
you.
Happy
thank
you're
you.
Coming, Ernie.
Yeah, thank you. No, I enjoyed it, and I look forward to doing it again. I'll do you up. You know, the main thing is that I just want to encourage people to go because they need to experience the charge, you know, the inspiration, because what we're going into is really going to be a mental thing more than it's going to be a physical thing. I think we're such a rich country that anybody with any kind of, you know, ingenuity can, you know, survive and thrive in the back 40 of something, get a van of whatever down by the river. I mean, you know, it's there. We're going to be okay. It's the relationships. It's the goal. It's the stick-to-itiveness. It's to put your head down and plow, and literally plow, plant something, you know, make a plan. It's because I feel it coming that it's not that we're going to abandon technology, you know, but we're going to abandon the surveillance technology. We're going to abandon, you know, I want Jarvis, not Alexa. I want my AI to be mine. I want my car to go when I want it to go and not deliver me to the man like Minority Report or something. I mean, you know, technology is not the enemy. It's the people that are using it. It's the mindset behind it. It's the philosophy that we're up against. I really feel it. And there is such inspiration that I get from the people. And a lot of these people, these projects, these ideas, these intentional communities, these templates, they are there. And matter of fact, I needed some artwork done. I just put it out to my Telegram, and people I knew it would pop up. I go, look, I need artwork, you know, somebody to, you know, do this, 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 and this. Well, the guy that was there doing NFTs at last Anarchapoca that you auctioned off, you know, he was one of the guys that sent some submissions, and I go, whoa, that's it, cool. You know, let's talk. And I go, Oh, you're that guy. Well, now I already know who he is. You know, I know him by reputation. I know him in the community. I know, so it might be he's worth a couple more dollars, you know? So this is the kind of stuff that you got a project, you got an idea, you need a recharge. A Narcopoco is a fantastic opportunity and a good vacation because there's a lot of things to do. And if it's freaking blizzard cold front of, oh my guy, oh my God, you know, cyclone death spiral of ice of whatever the hell, you go to an Acapulco and that just melts away. Catherine, thank you very much. Anything else you want to share with anyone before we go?
No, I just want to say thank you. I'm so grateful, Ernie. It's been a pleasure evolving by your side over the years. Really love you.
You too, baby. I, you know, I, and I, you know, I get in trouble when I say I always call everybody's young to me. Yeah, Catherine, you're young, you know, but yeah, she is a mature woman that is a leader, you know, for this kind of stuff. And I'm just so glad to, you know, be your friend. Thank you, Catherine.